Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Nation, welcome back to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We are live from 6 to 7 p.m. tonight in another 60-minute podcast. And you know what the main event topic is. You know what the main frame of this show is going to be about. If you are a Heat fan, Rocket really advises you to not watch the show unless you're really brave, you're really tough, you got a set of balls, and that you can tolerate pain and humiliation. Now, it's not really going to be that serious tonight, but I will say that congratulations to the Spurs for winning their fifth NBA title, and they won it in extremely big fashion. You talk about wanting to get revenge on somebody and redeeming yourself. They did it, and they did it in a big way. I tip my hat off to them. I watched much of the finals this year, actually. It was amazing because last year I only watched maybe two or three games. And I did watch that game six, and I did watch that game seven, and I felt so bad for the Spurs. They were up by 5 points with 20 seconds to go. Ray Allen hit that big three. Shane Battier made six threes that whole night. The game goes into overtime. Miami prevails. And then in game seven, Tim Duncan missed a crucial hook shot, which would have put the Spurs up by four. They end up losing by seven, and Miami wins the second of their back-to-back championships. Give Miami a ton of credit. They went to four straight finals. That's the first time since the Celtics did it back in the old days. People don't remember that. But what made this final so big for the Spurs was they wanted Miami, and they went back to to the drawing board, basically, the Spurs did. They worked so hard during the offseason to get the NBA's best record, which they did. They did it again. Because if you remember, a few years ago, they were tied in two straight seasons with the Bulls for the best record, and they didn't make the finals. They didn't advance. The first year, they lost in an upset to the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that had never gotten past the first round. They lost in that first round. Following year, they lost to OKC in the conference finals. OKC goes on to the finals to lose to Miami, in which LeBron catches his first ring. But if you remember, the Spurs had to conquer their demons twice, the conference finals and the finals, because a lot of people didn't know if they could beat OKC. A lot of people didn't know if they could win this matchup. As far as trying to compete with Miami's ability to get up and down the court. But boy, were most people mistaken. I picked the Spurs to win in six. If you remember the last show that we did, I picked the Spurs to win in six. And I said, after the finals is over, we're going to bring the show back and we're going to talk about it. We're going to recap what transpired. So we're going to do that tonight. We're also going to talk about the futures of both of these teams, especially Miami. Where do the big three go from here? And what's going to happen with the LeBron? And rumors have been speculating about them trying to lure Carmelo Anthony over. And I think that's going to be a terrible mistake for not only the organization, but for Carmelo as well. And I'll explain that a little bit later. Also, we've got a little football news to talk about. And I also want to say congratulations to the Los Angeles Kings for winning the Stanley Cup. Beating the New York Rangers in dramatic fashion. It was just interesting how they were able to win. But when they lost, when they came back and beat San Jose in the second round after being down 3-0 and winning 4 straight, I said, oh, this team's going to go all the way and they're going to do it. And they did. So congratulations to them. This is the first time that the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals happened right around the same time. It was amazing to witness what we witnessed. So we got some things we're going to cover tonight. We're on air till 7 p.m. The Rocket Sports Breakdown back in session, back in the saddle again. We're going to take our first quick break, and when we come back, we're going to venture off into a few birthday shout-outs, and we're going to get this show rolling. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
My baby, what a lady, girl. Ooh. You're like a wine, you get better with time. Got your knee along, all this your soul, you're so fine from everything. Where you get better looking with every year. Get your sexual peak, your full figure physique. Young girl can't compete. Come cooking something to eat, baby. And since we in the kitchen, kitchen. Girl, let me get that muffin. You look kind of a order here, yeah. Can't believe what time, girl,
you're getting better. Looking like a picture of the falling actor.
The story gets more pretty every chapter. Getting more attractive.
Aging a factor.
You really need to let me in your world, girl. What a pearl, girl. No cougar, you're still a kitten. Hidden, you working out, girl. Shut your mouth, you looking thicker. You know how to hold your liquor. Show me your ID, I get the picture. I propose and those players raise your glass. From my biblical box fit to my safety dash. Ladies, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm about to eat that stuff. You look better, the older you get. They wouldn't believe me.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're approaching the 6:15 portion of the show, about 15 minutes into our broadcast tonight. And this is Rocket here with you. We are here until 7 p.m. And I want to take this quick opportunity to say thank you to everybody who supports Rocket, who supports the show. Got some news I want to pass on to you real quickly before we really get into this show. For those of you who didn't already know, yes, yours truly is now one of the newest members of upcoming entertainment television show titled In the Spotlight. It's basically a 20 to 25 minute show which requires a lot of different topics, a lot of different things, interviews, a few hosts that basically explains the show's demographics as far as like what's going on and, you know, what's happening within the Detroit community. It's a grand scale upcoming opportunity that showcases different things going on regarding entertainment and entrepreneurship and businesses and things like that. And yours truly is going to be one of the big talents that's going to be on the show. And the first show is going to be airing, the pilot is going to be airing next Saturday, 10 p.m. on the WADL station, which is a local station in Michigan. But you can get a chance to see pieces of the show on YouTube. We already have one of the shows up on YouTube right now that you can go and check out. But this is something that's a big opportunity for yours truly, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I can't wait to get started with these guys. And this is going to be something fun. This is going to be worth it. Everything, blood, sweat, and tears. I can't wait to get started. I'm just happy with how everything is going to look. You know what I'm saying? I'm just looking forward to being a part of this. This is something I've been waiting for forever. And I've always wanted to do sketch comedy, which is also something that's going to be put into the show, the project. So there's going to be some sketches. There's going to be some some parodies. There's going to be reports regarding sports, you know, the weather and all that other good jazz. And I can't wait. I can't wait. So just wanted to let you all know about that. Also, tomorrow night I will be performing stand-up comedy for the first time at the Artist Village in Detroit, which is located by Grand River and Lasser, right over there by the Redford Theater. So if you're within the area or if you're willing to travel, come on through and check out Rocket and many others. I'm going to be performing at this place for the first time. I've never performed here before, always wanted to, and I want to give a shout-out to my cousin Joshua Adams for informing me about the place. I've known about this place for about 6 years. I just never got around to going, but I'm going to go this time, and I'm excited. So I got a lot to look forward to, a whole lot. So, again, I want to say to everyone, thank you for all of your support. It really means a whole lot. Thank you. It's remarkable. And I can't wait. I can't wait. You just don't know how excited I am to be doing a lot of these things. And I'm gearing up. I'm gearing up for everything. So once again, thank you all for your support. And I want to say my apologies to any technical difficulties that's airing within our broadcast tonight. Sometimes my laptop runs a little slow. You know how it is when you're multitasking and you're trying to get so many things happening right now. And in my case, that's the usual. Like I said, we are on air until 7 p.m. tonight. And we got the NBA Finals to recap, and we got a whole lot more to talk about. So as we get into the show, I want to send a few birthday shout-outs real quickly. Happy 77th birthday to former NBA coach Dale Harris, who turned 77 today. He's best known for his time as a coach with the L.A. Lakers. Before that, he coached the Houston Rockets beginning in 1979 through 1984. Coached the Milwaukee Bucks from 87 to 93, and then came over to L.A. from 94. Never really won a title with them. In fact, those Lakers teams he coached, you know, they used to play at the Forum, and from time to time they would get swept in competition. I remember they got swept a couple times by Utah, if I'm not mistaken. He also got swept by the Spurs. When the Spurs won their first title back in 99, they got swept in the conference finals that year, and they needed to make a change. So in comes Phil Jackson, and out goes Dale Harris. But he goes on to become an assistant coach with the Mavericks. They get to the finals in 06, lose to Miami in six games, a very controversial NBA finals, I might add. So he bounced around as an assistant coach. He became an assistant coach with the Bulls for a short time. Also became assistant coach for the Nets when they were still in New Jersey. And back in 2011, he would become the new head coach of the Dallas Mavericks NBA Development League affiliate, the Texans Legends. Like I said, he coached seven seasons in the Puerto Rico National Superior League with the 176-61 record and won three national championships. He was an assistant under Rudy Tomjanovich in the 98 FIBA World Championship, winning a bronze medal. The team was handicapped by only using college players as there was a lockout in the NBA. He also served as a coach in the Chinese national men's team, where he coached Yao Ming before he became an all-star. And prior to becoming a Lakers head coach, he was also a special consultant of the Canadian basketball team and their head coach, Ken Shields. So he's coached around in and out of the country. He's also been a contributor to the NBA as a head coach, as an assistant head coach. His career NBA record is he has 556 wins and 457 losses. In the postseason, he went 38-50. The last time he coached in the NBA again was during the Lakers in the 98-99 short season. That was the team. Well, he coached the first 12 games. They were 6-6. They got fired. Kurt Rambis actually took the head coaching duties from him, and they coached the Lakers all the way to the conference finals, where they got swept by San Antonio, who went on to win the NBA finals. But nonetheless, happy 77th birthday to Dale Harris. And I'm happy that he still continued to coach after that, because, you know, it's always tough when you get fired and, you know, trying to move on from another team. But he hasn't been a head coach in the NBA since then, but he is been the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks development NBA team. And, you know, he's still growing strong. Still growing strong, even at 77. So, you know, he's an old school mentality guy with that mindset. And, you know, he still has been going strong even after that situation that happened. So, happy birthday to him. Anyway, happy birthday to him. And I also want to say many happy returns and, you know, special shout out to the Lakers organization when they were coaching him, and just part of that Lakers lore, you know, just part of that Lakers lore. You know, that's something that never, ever, ever, ever stops. You know, you got to keep it going. You got to keep it going. Maybe the Lakers could give him a call back right now, you know, if you think about it. Happy birthday to Antonio Gates, Detroit's own Antonio Gates. He is 34 years of age today, still playing in the NFL with the San Diego Chargers. Guy played college basketball at Kent State. He actually went undrafted, believe it or not. He was supposed to be drafted. He was supposed to be part of the 2003 draft class, but he didn't get picked that year. So he signed with the Chargers as a rookie free agent and been with the team ever since. He's an 8-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro, NFL Alumni Tight End of the Year in 2005, the NFL 2000s All-Decade Team, and the San Diego Chargers 50th Anniversary Team. To me, he's probably second, third, maybe the first or second. You know, it's neck and neck between him and Kellen Winslow Senior as far as, like, top two tight ends in league history. So he goes neck and neck with Kellen Winslow Senior. But he's put up some fabulous numbers. As of last season, he has 719 receptions, 9,193 yards, and 87 career touchdowns. He came off a season where the Chargers were trying to make a deep playoff run for the first time in a few years, basically since 2009. They've kind of fallen off the map 2010, 2011, 2012. Last year, Phillip Rivers resurged himself. He basically came back from being in hibernation, I guess you could say. And they went on to the playoffs and before losing to division rival Denver in the divisional round. But some people started to wonder about Antonio Gates, whether or not he was slowing down or whether he had anything left to give, what was he planning to do, you know. He came off a year, though, where he did catch 77 passes for 872 yards and 4 touchdowns. The 77 catches was his most since 2009, where he caught 79, and the 872 was the most since, again, 2009, where he had a career high 1,157 receiving yards that year. That was probably his best year. 2005, he caught 89 passes for 1,101 yards and 10 touchdowns. But 2010, 2011, 2012, he kind of fell off the map a little bit. He did catch 10 touchdowns in 2010, but he only caught 50 passes that year. And he caught 7 touchdowns in 2011, 7 touchdowns in 2012. He only caught 49 passes in 2012, but he, to me, will go down as one of the top 5 tight ends in NFL history. That's the way I look at it. I put him up there with Tony Gonzalez. I put him up there with Kellen Winslow Sr. You know, those guys, Shannon Sharp, you can make a case for him as well. But Antonio Gates, for a while, was the best tight end in the game. And I think he's been surpassed by Jimmy Graham, who I think is going to be another one of those top tight ends when it's all said and done. But you cannot take away what this guy did and what this guy meant to the game and how he came up. I mean, he played college basketball, tried to get into the NBA. They told him he was too undersized, too small at the positions he was playing. So he goes over to the NFL, makes a name for himself. And yes, remember, he played on those Chargers teams that were very, very high scoring. I mean, Vincent Jackson, guys like that, Keenan McCardo, LaDainian Tomlinson, of course, whether it was Drew Brees as the quarterback or Phillip Rivers as the quarterback. And they were the most talented team for a 4 to 5 year period. Basically, from 04 to 09, they were the most talented team in all of the National Football League. And he was a major component because of that. But he's still playing. I think he's got a few more years left in him. I think he's going to go on and become a Hall of Famer one day. He's got my vote, and I hope he gets it. I think he will, though, regardless if he wins a Super Bowl, regardless if he wins another Super Bowl or not, if he wins a Super Bowl or if he even gets to one. I think a Hall of Fame reach is right within his grasp. I think he's going to get one. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He definitely has my vote. But nonetheless, happy birthday to him. He's 34 years of age. I think he's got a good 2 or 3 more years left in him. I think he's going to play and continue to play and still continue to remain effective. I'm kind of anxious to see what this Chargers team is going to look like this upcoming season. So they're going to have a new head coach. They're also going to have some new changes on offense and even defense too. So good luck to the Chargers in this upcoming season, and good luck to Antonio Gates the rest of the way. Happy 51st birthday to a Hall of Famer, Bruce Smith, defensive end, played college at Virginia Tech, was drafted number one overall in 1985 for the Buffalo Bills, played there from 85 to 99, comes over to the Washington Redskins and played a few years there. Never really was the same guy, but he ends up being the NFL's all-time sack leader, and the Redskins threw a lot of money at him, a whole lot of money. Now, I'm going to talk about the Redskins a little bit later towards the end of our broadcast, because I think that's something I want to get off my chest regarding that situation that they're currently in. But nonetheless, going back to Bruce Smith, he's 11-time Pro Bowler, 9-time first-team All-Pro selection, 2-time second-team All-Pro selection, 4-time AFC champion, went to 4 straight Super Bowls. There you have it. NFL on 80s decade team, all 90s decade team, 2-time AP Defensive Player of the Year in 1990-1996, 3-time PFWA Defensive Player of the Year, 2-time NEA Defensive Player of the Year, Pro Bowl MVP in 1987, Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame, 2-time First Team All-American, and Hall of Fame inductee. 200 career sacks. What more do you need to know? 279 career games played, 200 sacks, 15 career fumbles recovered, 2 career interceptions, 1 career defensive touchdown. He was arguably the best defensive end in league history. I put him up there with Reggie White. To me, those two guys, Deacon Jones, those three guys, arguably the best. And even though he didn't win a Super Bowl, the fact that he went to 4 straight, I mean, come on, that's never going to happen again. Not in the NFL, it won't. Not during these times where you got the whole free agency thing to deal with and all that other good stuff. You know, that's a tall order if you think about it. I mean, that's a serious tall order. I think that's an accomplishment we're never going to see happen in the NFL again. A team going to 4 straight Super Bowls? No. No, because it's hard to keep your team intact. And when you get to 1 Super Bowl, especially if you win it, it's hard to maintain your team, because if you got free agents, those guys attract other teams that are trying to build and trying to become Super Bowl contenders and Super Bowl champions. For example, look what happened to the Ravens last year. After they won this Super Bowl, they lost so many of their core players, they didn't even make the playoffs the following season. Look at Seattle now. They've already lost a handful of players. Now, they've maintained a lot of big-name guys that they still have, but it's going to be hard for them to duplicate what they did last year. As far as this past season, it's going to be hard for them to do it this upcoming year. I think that's, again, that's going to be a tall order. a serious tall order. But nonetheless, happy birthday to him, and may you continue to grow strong and live on and prosper. Definitely. Also, I want to give a shout out to the USA for winning yesterday, winning 2-1, beating Ghana straight up old-fashioned. They scored the first goal within the first 50 seconds. How about that? You talk about setting the tone. That's what they did. That's what they did. Well, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to the NBA Finals recap. We're going to talk about this. And like I said, I'm going to get this whole Redskins thing off my chest. And we're going to talk about the future of both the Heat and the Spurs. Which team is most likely getting back to the NBA Finals? Which team is most likely going to be able to keep their core players? And we're going to keep it going. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Breakdown. The time is just after 6:30, and we are taking calls for the next 30 minutes for the remainder of the show. 347-327-9586. Get me back to the NBA Finals. I talked about how the Spurs pretty much, it was redemption versus legacy. And for the Spurs, they redeemed themselves big time. All four games they won were by double digits. These games weren't even close. They lost game two by only 2 points. Technically, it was 98-93. Ginobili hit a three-pointer just as time expired to cushion the lead for Miami to 2 points, which the Heat ended up winning. And you're thinking, okay, they're going back to Miami. They're going to be, this is going to be in a world of trouble. Not really. Game three, the Spurs just jumped off to big, ordinary fashion. It was just unbelievable to see. You know, to see them pound Miami twice on the road in South Beach, back to back. I mean, it was just unbelievable. It was unbelievable to witness it. And you can tell that the Spurs, not only did they want to get back to the finals and win it, but they wanted Miami, clearly. I don't think they would have been happy enough if they had to play Indiana. See, it's kind of like how the Lakers felt when they lost to the Celtics badly in 08, in the 08 finals. Next year, they get back to the finals, but they beat Orlando. They pound them up a little bit. But you could tell by Kobe's reaction, he wanted Boston. That's what he wanted. So the Lakers would get revenge against Boston the following year, even though it took them 7 games to do it, but they did it anyway. And sometimes the whole revenge factor comes into play. This is the second 5-game sweep in the finals. The first was 10 years ago when my Pistons beat my second favorite team, the Lakers, in 5 games, which most of us, we all deemed as, we christened it the 5-game sweep, the first ever in NBA league history, NBA finals history, I might add. And the Pistons took game one on the road in L.A. They won by 12 points. The Lakers won game two in overtime. Kobe Bryant hit that amazing three-pointer at nearing the end of regulation to tie up the game. And the Lakers ended up outscoring the Pistons 10-2 to win in overtime. They come back. A lot of people said the Pistons going to be devastated because they had a big lead at the end of the game. They lost it. They respond by pounding the Lakers by 20 points. They held them to 68, which is the fewest in Laker history in the finals. And they responded in a big way. Game 4, they won by 8 points. In Game 5, they were up by as many as 26 within 5 minutes of the game. And they won. They won. They ended up winning by 13, but they won by double digits nonetheless. You know, they scored 100 points to really put the Lakers out of their misery, which they did, and sent the Lakers into obscurity for the next 3 or 4 years. But anyway, to see the Spurs do this the way they did was unfathomable, because I don't think a lot of people pictured that it would happen. Like I said at the top of the show, I picked the Spurs to win in 6 games. And I said a lot of these games are probably going to be close. It's going to come down to the wire because, you know, Miami. I mean, I'm not a Heat fan. I never have been a Heat fan. I've never cared for the organization. Never been a LeBron, Wade, or Bosch fan. But I respect their games. And I said, you know what? This is going to be tough, you know, to have to go up against Miami because they like to get up and down the court. But if I wasn't mistaken, Miami looked like the Lakers did in the 04 finals. They looked slow. They looked tired. They looked beat up. And you have to remember, Dwayne Wade had been in and out of the lineup for much of the season. And you had to know that eventually it can't continue that way. They were getting their butts handed to them. Like, their rear ends really began to tell you just about, actually, just how I almost felt sorry for Miami, because this is a laugher. They got embarrassed, man. And to a man, it's like, you know what? There's no way that they were going to push this further than they did. I just couldn't see this. And I will say, this is just unbelievable. Unfreaking believable to witness what we witnessed. It was just mind-boggling. for the Spurs to win all four of their games by double digits, it was just crazy. It was just crazy. And the and out of all four of those games, the lowest margin was 13 points. The two games in South Beach weren't even close. I remember game three, they were up as many as 25. Miami cushioned the lead to 7 points, but did the Spurs panic? Nah. Every time Miami went on a resurgence, the Spurs found a way to overcome that. And they did. They went on to win big in that game. Game four was pretty much the same story. What the heck happened to Miami? Anybody on their roster not named LeBron James? Dwayne Wade, beat up. Chris Bosh, inconsistent. Mario Chalmers, invisible. Where the hell was he? Norris Cole, don't even get me started with him. Chris Anderson shot 25% in these finals. That's pathetic for a center. Shane Battier, who's retired officially now, by the way. Where was he? Ray Allen, also inconsistent at times. And I've gone on record by saying, I've been saying for the last 2 months, the Spurs are a team. When they hit their threes, and believe me, they were hitting threes a lot, they are impossible to beat. Just damn near impossible. Throughout the finals, Ginobili hitting threes. Danny Green, even though he didn't score a bucket in Game 7, but he had been hitting threes, especially in that Game 3 on the road. Kawhi Leonard had a fantastic performance in Game 2. And congratulations to him winning the MVP. He was he's tied for the second youngest. Magic Johnson still remains the youngest to ever win an MVP award. He did it at the age of 20, if I'm not mistaken, 20. Kawhi Leonard did it at 22 years old. And it was funny because the first two games in San Antonio, he was inconsistent. He gets a pep talk for it, from his coach, Greg Popovich, and he just comes out on fire in game three. In fact, that game three, if I'm not mistaken, he made his first six shots. And he was playing tremendous defense on LeBron. And Dwayne Wade, whoever he was guarding, he was playing phenomenal defense. This kid is ready to take the next step and be an all-star. And he had every reason to come out on the attack. Keep in mind, game six last year, he missed a crucial free throw down the stretch. Him and Ginobili both, they both missed one free throw, which probably most likely would have put the game away and the Spurs would have won that title. And then next thing you know, Ray Allen hits the big three. The game goes in overtime. Miami wins. And he went on to win the whole thing. You got to remember, Kawhi Leonard is young. He's young. He still has a lot to learn. He still has a lot to prove. And hopefully he doesn't let the success of the finals and the MVP trophy go to his head. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. He's a quiet, soft-spoken guy who plays the game. He's passionate about the game. He loves it. He's talented. He can shoot. He can play defense. He can rebound. He can do all the little things that you ask a young player of his caliber to do. He finished game five with 22 points and 10 rebounds. Played good defense against LeBron James, even though LeBron got his points. I mean, he got his 31 points, but he had to work for those 31 points, though. That game five, though, Miami was up 22-6 in the first quarter. I'm thinking, okay, LeBron had a look of attack on his face. He was, like, basically guaranteeing that they were going to win this game. Him, Chris Bosh, they said, we got to win this game, and they were confident they could do it. And I said before game five, if Miami's going to make history and come back, they were going to have to win twice more in San Antonio and win game six in order to do it, even though they had already won game two, which would have been a very, very tall order. You know what I'm saying? A very tall order. And I felt like, you know what? I was happy for them. I was happy that they did it. I was happy that they did it. So, kudos to the San Antonio Spurs. They won their fifth title. For Duncan, it's his fifth title. For Popovich, it's his fifth title. And those guys have been together for so long. The question is now, what's going to happen with these two teams? I'm going to tell you San Antonio is most likely to get back to the finals next year than Miami will, because I think San Antonio pretty much has their players intact. The one guy that they're probably going to lose in free agency is Patty Mills, their backup point guard, who was not on the Spurs active roster during the finals last year. Boy, could they have used him. This past season, he plays 81 games, started a few of them, goes into the finals and just provides so much electricity. He played phenomenal in that system by Greg Popovich. And he, too, was hitting threes. I mean, he was making some big-time plays down the stretch. It was amazing to watch him. And I think his play is going to attract some teams. There are talks that he could end up going to New York. The Knicks are basically going to go after him during the free agency. I think other teams could use him as well, if you think about it. OKC could probably use him. They're going to need a backup point guard now that Derek Fisher has taken the Knicks head coaching job and has retired as a player. Because I think Reggie Jackson is going to become a shooting guard, a backup shooting guard, and maybe even become a starter or whatever. They could use a guy like Patty Mills, OKC. I think he would fit phenomenal in their system because they like to get up and down. They like to shoot long range. He would be perfect in that offense. And I also think that there's going to be a handful of other teams. The Lakers might be interested in him. They need an electric point guard, which is something they really, really don't have right now. As for Miami, I think they're in big trouble. First of all, they need a better supporting cast. For LeBron, it was starting to feel like Cleveland all over again. He had no help. Chris Bosh scored 13 points in game 5. Dwayne Wade scored just 11. 4 of 12 shooting. Keep in mind, in game 4, he was 1 for 10. He just looked beat up. 32 years old, just beat up now. What's the future going to hold for him? Now, here's what I think is going to happen. I think all three of those guys, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, are going to have to take pay cuts for Miami to try and bring in some help for bench purposes and even point guard help. Because Mario Chalmers, to me, I never looked at him as a prototypical starting point guard. Now, he did not start in Game 5. They inserted Ray Allen into the starting lineup. Ray Allen didn't do that much better. He only scored 5 points on 1-for-8 shooting. He was a non-factor. Rashard Lewis, who started but only played just 9 total minutes, he only scored just 3 points. He was a non-factor. They need help. Shane Battier played 11 minutes, did not score. Udonis Haslam played under 10 minutes, 2 points. Norris Cole, 9 minutes, 2 points, and he got those at the free throw line. He shot over 2 in the game. And don't even get me started on James Jones and Tony Douglas. Those guys, afterthoughts. Chris Anderson, 18 minutes, 0 points. They need help. Mario Chalmers came off the bench and only scored 8 points. Michael Beasley only scored 9, but those were 9 meaningless points. The game was pretty much over at that point. They need help. Now, Chris Anderson is going to restructure his contract and become a free agent. I don't know if he's going to go back to Miami or not. Udonis Haslam, I don't know what his future holds. I think Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh will most likely be back, because Chris Bosh, he wants to stay in Miami. And Dwayne Wade, I think he's going to stay in Miami too. And here's the thing. If you watch those two during the finals, and if you're a team, would you really seriously consider going after them in free agency? Dwayne Wade, I doubt it. I heavily doubt it. Chris Bosh, on the other hand, man, for the right price, the right system, maybe. But I'm not so sure about him neither. And I also think that in this case, the main frame will be what LeBron does this offseason. Because LeBron, Wade, and Bosh can all opt out of their contracts and become free agents, unrestricted free agents. For LeBron, this talks, he could go to New York, he could go to L.A. I don't think the Lakers and Knicks have the cap space to sign him. Houston, on the other hand, they got a shot. The Clippers, because of the market that they play in, and LeBron James' relationship with Chris Paul, that's something that could happen. But I will tell you this right now. Carmelo Anthony, folks, is not going to play for Miami. That would be foolish on his part. I don't think he would. I don't think he would get the numbers that he would have. First of all, now I can see LeBron and Carmelo playing together, but I can't see Carmelo playing with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. That's four highly combustible elements, four extreme egos on one team. Somebody's gonna have to give the ball up. And if you're Carmelo, do you want to play second fiddle to LeBron? Probably not. Probably not. So I look at it like this. Do you really want to consider, if you're Carmelo, yeah, you want to play with LeBron, but do you want to play with the other two at this stage? I'm not so sure. And if you're the Knicks, what are you going to do? You got to see if Carmelo's going to come back or not. Now, Carmelo's going to opt out of his contract and become a free agent and test the free agency market too. There's rumors he could go to L.A. He could go to Chicago. The Bulls extremely want him. Now, I can see him fitting in with the Bulls, but his defense is going to be a question mark. But who knows? Maybe that would be a good seed for him. He could play defense, assuming that they keep Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau in the organization of the Bulls, they've been butting heads recently. Not so sure if they're going to be on the same side. They're certainly not on the same book right now. But if you talk to guys like Joakim Noah, like Kirk Heinrich, they want him. Now, I will say, in order for Chicago to lure Carmelo Anthony over, they're going to have to cut ties with the likes of Carlos Boozer, Jimmy Butler, and maybe even Taj Gibson and Mike Dunleavy, who they brought over as a free agent before the start of this past season, just to have enough cap money to bring in Carmelo and throw in the big bucks at him to bring him over as a free agent. That's the only way I can see that happen. Houston's going to have some flexibility. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. To me, they're about one or two big-name players away from really becoming a championship team. They're going to be a playoff team, but do they have the luxury of being a championship-caliber team? First of all, that defense has got to get its act together. They should not have lost to Portland. It was like they were refusing to play defense. And when you got a guy like Dwight Howard, who's arguably a top-three defender in this league, seriously, that should not be happening right now. That really should not be happening. You got to play better defense, period. So if you're a fan like me, you're looking forward to seeing what's going to happen this offseason. This is going to be a highly anticipated offseason since 2010. And we all know what happened in 2010. So I will say, whatever happens, I think we're going to see some things go down. That's how I look at it. So, that being said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I got to talk about this Washington Redskins situation. This is really starting to get on my nerves a little bit. But this is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We are nearing the end of our broadcast, and just got a few news to pass along. The Jets just released their running back, Mike Goodson, who has been dealing with some off-the-field issues. He also came off major knee surgery, dealt with some legal issues, including weapons charges, and currently facing up to 10 years in prison after being indicted back in November of last year. He was found in the car along with an acquaintance with a handgun and a low-point bullet back in May of last year, was suspended for the first four games of the season for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. And it was a decision that Coach Rex Ryan and the organization was forced to make. Sometimes you got to cut a guy to send a message to the knuckleheads out there, period. So they did that. I hope all works I hope everything works out for Mike Goodson in the long run, but that is not good news right now. And speaking of the Redskins, I'm about to get to them in a second, but some news to pass along with them. Their defensive end, Jason Hatcher, announced that he will have surgery on his left knee and will be sidelined 4 to 6 weeks. He just signed a 4-year, $27.5 million contract with the Redskins back in March after coming over as a free agent from Dallas. And now he's going to be out for quite a while. Hopefully he'll be ready in time for the preseason, which will be starting in August. And hopefully he'll be ready to go because they're going to need him. But that's probably the least of the Redskins' concerns. This whole situation with the whole name change and stuff, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's getting out of hand. I don't know what to make of it. They've been known as the Redskins forever. And if they change it, and I'm just going to keep it short and simple, if they change it, then y'all better come after the Cleveland Browns, the Indians. Y'all better come after the Chicago Blackhawks and force them to change their names too. Don't just kick the Redskins under the bus. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to leave it at that. Thank you all for tuning in to the show tonight. Really appreciate it. Thank you all for the support. Catch yours truly tomorrow at the Artist Village. I'll be performing there for the first time, making my debut inside that vicinity for open mic. And, again, thank you all for your support. And be on the lookout for Rocket on the television show In the Spotlight. And the Rocket Sports Breakdown will be returning back again soon. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the rest of your night. Get ready for a power trip. Rocket Nation, I'll see y'all next time.